The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Ah, yes. The victory horns, ladies and gentlemen. They sound for the first time in 2024, and they are sounding for Magomed Ankalaev, now unbeaten in 12 fights. The rivalry with Johnny Walker is over. Nasty knockout in round two. Magomed Ankalaev says, I'm the guy. I want the title. Not tomorrow, not next week, not 6 months from now. I want it right now. And that's the statement he tried to make and did a pretty damn good job of doing it. As we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 84 live post-fight show here at MMAfighting.com, I am Mike Heck. Got a whole crew here. First, my best friend, the Prince of Positivity himself, Mr. Alexander Kaylee. AK, first event in the books. How are we doing?
I don't know, but I tell you, first event, I got to throw a poll. I think we got to do the first poll of 2024. So, Mike, give me a second here. I'll have a poll for the people, and they'll let us know how we should feel after the first UFC event of the year.
Okay. Can we go back to AK for a second? Can we go back? Is that a mustache? Are we growing out the mustache?
I think I've always had this. I think I got a new camera. I think that's the that's the thing. I'm not even using the new camera. I totally forgot to use the new camera. So this is just a lie. I don't know. Maybe it's finally coming in. Maybe after all these years, it's finally coming in, guys. It's finally coming in.
I'm so proud of you. 2024 is such a big year for all of us.
Every year I hoped.
Unreal. You're looking like an 80s Major League Baseball player before you know it. And also join us on the preview show as well, Mr. New York Rick, Eric Jackman. I wonder what kind of breaking news we'll get this time around that we can shockingly react to in live, real time, New York Rick.
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. Second of all, we already got it that AK Lee's evil twin has replaced him, and we need to get to the bottom of that immediately. Quick, like, what's Alexander's birthday? Quick, go.
Alexander's birthday is every day.
It's nice him.
Try. Nice.
It might
try.
Be him. I'm still not sure yet, but it might be him.
Yeah, I think it is. I think he's just growing up before our eyes. What does the poll read, AK?
How would you grade UFC Vegas 84? Simple letter grade, A, B, C, D. Nothing fancy for the first poll of the year. Let's just get the temperature of the room, my best friend.
Okay. I think that's a good way to start here. We'll get to Magomed Ankalaev and Jim Effing Miller in just a few moments. But New York Rick, we've had about a month away. Took a little breather. Back at it. This is a little appetizer for UFC 297 next week. What do you grade UFC Vegas 84?
B plus, A minus, maybe. As we talked about on the preview show, this feels like the fight nights that we deserve. This feels like what an Apex show should look like on paper. The fighters delivered. The last two fights were incredible, and kind of the ones that we were focused in on. Obviously, it would have been nice to have Manel Kopp and Mateus Nicolau on this card, but the last two fights gave us what I think we wanted to see. And so did the rest of the prelims. I think everything kind of delivered here. So yeah, B plus, A minus, like good booking here by the UFC, and the fighters brought it. So I was thoroughly entertained.
AK, what was yours? We didn't get a gymnastic scale or anything, but yeah. Did it meet the expectations?
It did. I think that's the nicest way to put it. It's hard to say because I didn't really make a gymnastics score beforehand. So doing it in retrospect feels a bit dishonest. But I have to imagine whatever score I would have come up with, which wouldn't have been super high, it would have lived up to. We got some nice finishes early on. We got compelling results in the main card. No real chicanery, no like scoring chicanery, no weirdness, which we all kind of were joking was likely to strike the main event, considering Ankalaev and Walker's history and Ankalaev's individual history and Walker's individual history. It almost felt like maybe we shouldn't have rebooked this one. But the matchmakers did the smart thing. They said, these are two of the top contenders. We need to find resolution. And I think putting them in the main event worked out pretty well. I think they did get a good gauge of where Walker is as far as him ever being a contender. There's still a chance, I guess, but I think the ceiling has lowered a little bit here. And for Ankalaev, the ceiling is as high as ever. I mean, this is a guy who I think like for the last 2 years, most of us in the media, certainly in MMA fighting, have been saying he's probably the number one light heavyweight in the world. Like he's probably the best, most well-rounded light heavyweight in the world. He should have been the champion by now, but it's not like he hasn't got his chances. He had that vacant light heavyweight title fight, which, you know, he fought well and it just didn't go his way. Went to a draw. And I want to believe this is a fresh start. And for anyone who's thinking that this is his year, your bet and slip is looking pretty good right now because that was a great win. I think he proved he is a notch above Johnny Walker. I think if you run this fight back 10 times, it's 9 out of 10 wins for Ankalaev. And I think whoever faces Ankalaev next, I mean, they might just be holding the belt for him because he looks like the real deal, as he has for a while.
Yeah, I think this is a solid B plus, like 87 out of 100. Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty, pretty, pretty good. The thing that puts it over the top for me was this will be a B or better if I forget that Manel Kopp and Mateus Nicolau was supposed to fight on this card. And enough happened that made me kind of forget that fight was supposed to be on this card. Between the prelims, some big upsets, we had some bad heavyweight action, which is just perfect for the Apex. We had what happened in the co-main event. We had a really good fight at 135 pounds between Mauro Bautista and Ricky Simon, which we'll get into. I thought all in all, this is a great start to the year and makes me a little more excited for UFC 297. So, New York Rick, the big question we had besides where does Manel Kopp go with the win before the weight miss was, is there anything Magomed Ankalaev can do to get himself a title shot? Is there anything he can do to get Alex Pereira's attention? Is there anything he can do to leapfrog Jamal Hill and all the craziness at 205 right now? And a lot of us pretty much said, like, you go out there and you get an emphatic, brutal finish that might just get you there. But now that it's happened, New York Rick, is Magomed Ankalaev, is he next? Is Alex Pereira, is his next challenger going to be Magomed Ankalaev?
Yeah, I mean, the moment it happened, I thought so. We've also seen Glover Teixeira come out on Twitter, or X rather, and say, great knockout, you're next, or we'll see you next, or something to that effect. So yeah, I mean, it seems like he would be next. Again, the mystery around the timeline of Jamal Hill's return is kind of looming over this, but you can't do much better than that. In fact, you can't do better than that. He absolutely lanced Johnny Walker, and it was the best you could possibly do. So yes, I do believe he's next. Now, is it going to be a quick turnaround? Are they going to try and throw this on UFC 300 maybe? That I don't know, but I do imagine in this first half of the year that Magomed Ankalaev will get a title shot. Yeah.
I feel like if they're going to do this, it's not going to be a 300. Because why? There's just no need. If you're going to go to Rio, at least that's the rumor and innuendo right now. If you're going to go to Rio a month later, should probably save Alex Pereira for that card. Maybe do Pereira versus Ankalaev there. I think that makes perfect sense. But it all depends on what Pereira is doing and what his timeline is. And if he wants to wait for Jamahal Hill, because if Jamahal Hill is ready to fight in like July or August, maybe Pereira wants to wait for that. But he seems like a guy that wants to stay busy, AK. And look, we're going to do on to the next one tomorrow. So this question is going to relate to that. But look, we give spoilers all the time. I honestly feel like this is going to be the easiest on to the next one I have ever done. I already immediately knew where I was going with a lot of these fights. Are you going to say Magomed Ankalaev's next opponent will be Alex Pereira for the light heavyweight title?
Am I going to say that on the show, my best friend? I'm trying to think, because I was like, I can't remember what I said when Khalil Roundtree got his last win. I remember there was a part of me campaigning, right? I was just like, just give him the Alex Pereira fight. Like, do it now. Like, what's a better time for Khalil Roundtree? But then Magomed Ankalaev puts this performance on. He's clearly ahead of Roundtree in the rankings. It would be, like, again, I wouldn't have a problem with it as a fight fan. I think there's a lot of great matchups for Alex Pereira, and him and Roundtree would be awesome. But it would seem pretty unfair for Roundtree to leapfrog Ankalaev. And also, if we're going by, you know, who we think is the better fighter, I think most of us, I don't know, people in the comments tell me if I'm crazy, I think most of us feel, again, that Ankalaev is the number one, at worst, the third best light heavyweight in the world. He's just so good. And this performance tonight proved that. So by the most basic definition, there's really nothing that Ankalaev should have to do to earn a title shot. Again, we know the UFC views him as a title contender. They gave him the vacant title fight with Jan Blachowicz. They fully expected it to be possible that he would have entered 2023 as the light heavyweight champion. It just didn't work out that way. And I don't see why they would change their minds. Again, he has done nothing wrong. That little gaffe in the first Walker fight, I'm sure, was an annoyance, but nothing that should set his career back too far. So, Mike, I think when the show comes around, whatever I've said about who should be next for Pereira onto the next one episodes, I'll probably have to toss it out the window, because it should be Ankalaev. I want to see that fight now, but there's a lot of options for Pereira. And I still think Izzy's out there too. I still think there's that Izzy wild card if he does decide to just come back and take this fight that Pereira has laid out for him.
It's got to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. But if Pereira is ready to fight by June, then I think you have to throw Ankalaev in there. And I have to tell you, after watching Johnny Walker in that first round just kind of kick that lead leg over and over again, and Ankalaev's getting a little bit uncomfortable in there before he turned it on and got the knockout, the fight's a little more interesting to me. If Ankalaev starts tackling him, that's a different story. But if this is a mostly striking affair like we just saw here, it's an interesting fight. So good win for Ankalaev. I think he did everything he needed to do here to get himself into that position. And that's really all you can ask for. And Johnny Walker's still going to be a fun guy to watch. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes from there. There's a lot of up-and-comers, a lot of guys in this division that are moving up. And there's a lot of big fights booked for this division. So I'm sure Johnny Walker, once he gets that nose healed up, because that thing was battered after that finishing combination from Magomed Ankalaev. Good performance. Good performance from the one-time title challenger. And let's see if he gets opportunity number two. Now,
could I just say one thing, Mike, before we move on? Let me just say one thing about the leg kicks thing, which I noted as well, right? But it seems to be something that we also saw in the Jan Blachowicz fight. Like, this is just something that, like, needs to be addressed, right? But what we also saw in that fight was, in the later half of that fight, taking over and utilizing his wrestling when finally the leg became too compromised. I think he just needs to go to that earlier. And against Alex Pereira, I don't think he'll have a very difficult time. So if the game plan's right, I get that, you know, people are going to, and rightfully so, people are going to be thinking that he's going to get his legs chewed up. But if he starts hitting those takedowns, there's going to be very few answers, I believe. So I'm interested to see how that style matchup takes place. But I do think, like, the idea that he's just going to stand for five rounds and kind of trade with Alex Pereira might not happen. I think he probably goes to that strategy sooner. And we've kind of seen him be able to shift away from that. So yeah, intriguing matchup though. I really enjoy that matchup.
Oh, you're probably right. I mean, heading into this fight, I was just like, I kind of feel like I know how Ankalaev versus Pereira is going to go. It's kind of the way you said it. But again, like, Pereira is so good. Like, those leg kicks are so sneaky, and you can prepare for them all you want. You can prepare for them by trying to take them down and all that. And it doesn't really work. he just starts chewing you up quick. So I am intrigued. I'm more interested now after watching this fight tonight than I was heading in, but I still will probably lean Ankalaev if that's how the UFC goes with this, but we shall see how this all plays out. But Jim Miller, New York Rick, that Jim Miller, I'm telling you, this guy is a hero. He is a freaking legend. Unbelievable. Goes out there, dominates Gabriel Benitez, gets the face crank submission in round three, and then he gets on the mic and he does the thing, New York Rick. He does the thing. Says Paul Felder, very respectfully, calls out Mr. Paul Felder, sitting right there. Paul is in a suit, big smile on his face. Apparently, he even went up and did a scrum with the media after the event, talking about the call out and him being interested in the fight and talking about what he needs to do. Then he called out Matt Brown, loved that call out as well. And then he just plays the gimmick to the nines and calls out Brock Lesnar, just joking around. But everything about the fight, the performance, the mic work from Jim Miller, A-plus performance. What else can you say about this man, New York Rick?
Yeah, I don't have much more to say. Like, we heaped a ton of praise on him talking about this, you know, the Iron Man streak that he's on right now in the preview show. And he only improved on that. Another UFC appearance, another UFC win, another UFC submission. He's now second all time in submissions with 12 UFC submissions with 12 behind only Charles Oliveira. There's nothing the guy can't do. He's an absolute legend. And as you said, I think he aced the call out, right? You get the Paul Felder sitting right there call out. You get Matt Brown will be a fun fight if maybe Felder's not up for it. And you get the Brock Lesnar joke call out. Who knows? Maybe it becomes a real call out. And I loved it. And by the way, I mentioned on that preview show, like I would assume that Paul Felder wouldn't try to like steal the shine away from him. I wonder why it was Bisping doing the post-fight interviews. Maybe they were anticipating that. And I was glad to see that he kind of just sat there, took it in, and then waited until the post-fight presser to kind of give his thoughts on that, to let Jim Miller have his moment. But I thought all the call-outs were great. Everything landed. Jim Miller's the freaking man. I'd watch him fight, you know, until UFC 400, 500, whatever he wants to do. I love Jim Miller.
I loved everything about the call-out. I loved sort of the 80s look at Paul Felder with the suit and the smile. Like, there can be no actual like UFC fight poster if they announce this fight. It has to be like an 80s sitcom poster where they're back to back kind of like looking at each other like in a goofy smile. That's what the fight poster needs to look like with those two guys, because it's going to be electric and it's everything we could hope it could be. I mean, what a night for Jim Miller, AK. This guy is just unbelievable.
I'm glad it ended up as the co-main event. That's the one good thing we got out of losing the Nicolau Kopp rematch. It just feels right. It feels right for him to be in a co-main event slot, because we know he's not going to get a co-main event slot at 300. I mean, look, based on how the card is going, it doesn't even look like he'll end up in the main card of that. And that's fine. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need to be. Just being on 300 is going to be a big deal. 26 wins now in the UFC, 26 wins and 43 appearances. Insane. 40 lightweight appearances. 23 wins at lightweight, the deepest division in all of sports. Actually, I think I have that number wrong. Five of his last six. I mean, the guy just keeps doing it. New York Rick mentioned now second only behind Charles Oliveira, the submission record. It is ridiculous. 40 years young. We don't know what the fight night bonuses are. I think he'll tie.
Yes, we do. We got do. Him.
Is he
I
one
just
of them?
Got him.
Is he one of them?
Yes, of course he is. Hit well, the music, now- Casey. Hit the music. We'll announce him real quick. I'll let you
go ahead. Go ahead.
Red. One James A10 Miller. Magomed Ankalaev.
Yeah. Love the name.
Naturally. Yep.
Bruno Ferreira with that nasty knockout of Phil Haas. And yes. Marcus McGee, the all violence team member in the bantamweight division. Those are your performance of the night. No fight of the night. Ricky Simon.
I was going to say Simone and Batista probably deserved something there. Man, that was a great fight.
Definitely could have been. Yep. Definitely could have been.
I mean, it's tough. There were a lot of really nice finishes here too. So,
I mean, Gian Silva, just his whole, if we're doing performance, I mean, if counting from the entrance to the end, that's a performance. Is that not the definition of a performance worthy, you know, a performance bonus worthy performance? But yes, now officially then, Jim Miller with 14 fight night bonuses, which is tied with Cowboy Cerrone behind only Joe Lauzon, who's been holding on to that record despite not fighting for like, what, 3 years now? So pretty impressive. But Jim Miller's coming for it, man. Joe Lauzon, if you're out there, you may want to campaign for that 300 spot. I don't know. Stop this guy from getting your fight night bonus record. But just so much fun to watch. I know we're going to talk about Andrei Arlovsky later, but it was – It means a lot, I think, to see these guys competing on the same card. Number one and number two, I believe, on the all-time UFC appearances list. It feels right. You know, it feels right. And no, they didn't both get a win, and only one of them was in a fight that we'll want to be talking about like 6 months from now. But it's still great to see. It's still great to see. But yeah, very happy for Jim Miller. It's a feel-good story. And I don't think you can make this card go lower than a B. I think that moment... It's a shame it's happening now because, well, you know what? Maybe there's better moments for Jim Miller ahead. I was going to say that this could have made an end of the year good times list, but hey, the good times could just be starting for A10.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a preference here, or does it even matter? Do you prefer Matt Brown or Paul Felder, or is it just flip a coin? I don't care. Let's just get one of these guys in there.
It's Felder. It's Felder for me, man. It's got to be Felder. I think Felder has become only a more revered figure, I think, as a commentator. I think he stepped away, like, you know, quote unquote retired at the right time, where he still left people wanting more. He didn't, you know, Paul Felder didn't go and people were like, oh, thank God, like, Paul Felder's not fighting anymore. There was still an element of like, okay, happy for him, happy to see him go. But if, you know, let's leave that door open. And I think we all kind of felt like that door was open because he's still young enough. He's a guy who keeps himself in amazing shape between fights. That's well documented. And then as we got closer to 300 and thinking about who was right for Jim Miller, I think a lot of us were like, man, that Paul Felder, he's still out there. So for me, that's the easy fight to make, easy fight to sell. And it would deliver on fight night for sure.
Great performance from Mario Bautista. He answered a ton of questions. Great fight with Ricky Simone. Bautista is going to be a top 15 bantamweight come Tuesday. Bruno Ferreira just brutally knocking out Phil Haas. I'm curious to see where Phil Haas is going to go after this. He was obviously very broken up after that one. He was out for quite some time, but once he woke up, he was very emotional. Waldo Cortez Acosta beats Andrei Arlovsky, but not in the court of public opinion. The showboating did not rub people the right way, but he does get a win, remains undefeated in the UFC. Preston Parsons defeats Matthew Semelsberger. Marcus Begui, as we talked about, bonus winning. Standing TKO, Fareed Basharat just continues to do the damn thing. Defeats Taylor Lapolis, fun fight, but pretty dominant performance. John Silva, holy smokes. I mean, talk about making an entrance into the UFC from the 4-minute walkout to the octagon to just staring down poor Weston Wilson, to him just beating the brakes off Weston Wilson and then barking like a dog with the fighting nerd glasses on, doing training sessions with his coach in the middle of his post-fight interview. I mean, geez, what a freaking debut that was. Nicholas Mota, who probably should have got a bonus, upsets Tom Nolan in fight number two, and then Josh Van starts off 2024 with a pretty nasty ground and pound TKO finish of Felipe Bunez. First win, first finish of 2024. Now a bar trivia question answer for one Joshua Van. So New York Rick, I'll start with you. Outside of Magomed Ankalaev and outside of Jim freaking Miller, which performance, which moment stood out to you the most?
Yeah, I mean, probably Gene Silva, right? If we're talking about like what, like kind of thing I'll remember the most, but the one that felt the most significant to me is Bautista. I think that dude established himself as a contender tonight. It's typically Ricky Simone who's kind of the guy coming on late and overwhelming people just with his relentless action, and Bautista was just there handing it to him in the third round, going for the finish, looking to get him out of there, and Simone just looked like he didn't have anything left to give back. I was really, really impressed. Like, he's somebody who I thought could come into this fight and look that impressive. It was not like a shocking revelation, but to see it actually happen and now establish himself as what I think one of the top guys in that division, which is a very stacked division, means something and felt very significant. And I'm super excited to kind of see what he does next. So that's the thing that I think probably had the biggest like significance and impact. But there was also some fun moments on the rest of the card.
AK, what's the low-key moment you'll remember?
Man, I'm all in on this Marcus McGee experience. And I think I have to do it because I feel like I owe him an apology. I don't know if I've said in the past, like, I've lumped him in with all these fights. You know, we've gone on a lot of, oh my gosh, these cards are getting watered down. Where'd they find this guy? Where'd they find this guy? And I'm almost sure if someone wants to dredge up a past episode where Marcus debuted, I'm sure I probably ignorantly said the same thing about him. Like, oh, he's like, he's only what, 6-1 and he's getting the UFC. Well, who is this guy? And it's not completely unjustified. I mean, I think myself and people have right to criticize, you know, the more inexperienced fighters to bring it in. But he's been a great pickup. He just keeps getting in there and finishing people. And he's a really class dude. He looks like he's been through it. Like he looks like a well-worn 33, but he's very fresh to us in the UFC. So I don't know. I'm not saying this guy's going to be top 15, top 20 fighter. I mean, the opponents he's beaten so far, I think he'd be expected to beat. I don't know what the odds were with Gaston. I think Bolaños was maybe slightly favored, but this guy's a fighter, man. And all I could think of, because if anyone has seen, you know, Gaston Bolaños fight before, is like, he's such a skilled striker. What a great skilled striker. He should pick a guy like Marcus McGee apart, but Marcus is a very good striker himself. And also you could see he's, again, what we say, when we describe someone who's the difference between a fighter and a martial artist. And McGee is a fighter, man. He's going in there to crack. He doesn't care if he gets hit. He's looking for a finish every time. More often than not, he's getting it. 3-0 in the UFC, 3 finishes. I think he's really one to watch in this division. If not a contender, just someone who I hope has a 20 fight run with the UFC and picks up all kinds of fight night bonuses. He's awesome.
3 bonuses too. 3 fights, 3 finishes, 3 bonuses.
That's nice.
he was actually a pretty sizable favorite in this one. -2.
Oh, he was. Okay.
Was the close, but yeah, man. Talk about kind of coming out of nowhere. Him and Fareed Basher are two guys definitely to watch at 135. So
the NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's bring in the baddest stash in MMA. I know, AK, you're vying for that title, but the man who owns the title right now is one E. Casey Lydon. Casey, the peeps, I'm sure, have some thoughts. They haven't been able to react to a UFC card in a few weeks, so let's see what the peeps have to say.
Okay. First question.
AK, you're doing the post show on your birthday. Hey,
is it AK? Is it?
I'm still not convinced, by the way. I gave you a layup to start. I'm not sure yet.
This isn't even as bad. I think it's the new lighting and stuff, because I've had worse facial hair. Yeah, get in there. I've had worse, just the mouth. I've had worse facial hair on this show before, but it does look particularly grody today. So guys, I have UFC 270 next week. I will be like, people will be seeing this live. So get ready for that.
Aha, I knew it wasn't him.
I will be shaved by media day, I assure you.
You know how I know? Because you said UFC 270. It's UFC 297. The real AK would have known that. The real AK would have known that. You gave it away. The evil twin. We've discovered him.
Finally coming out just so we can cover a UFC event. Emerging from the darkness from 2019. Cover a UFC event.
Wait, this isn't AK that canceled that UFC event?
No, that's the other guy. That's the other guy. That's the good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right. Thanks for showing up on your birthday.
No problem. Let me read the poll. Let me read the poll real quick while I'm here. Let's just end that. It's got quite a few votes in already. I agree. 50% B. Pretty strong. 50% B and second place. 26% C. I think B is right. B is solid. Nothing wrong with a B. Yeah. I got plenty of them in my life, and I think that people are.
All right.
what an explanation. AK, you're on fire, man. You're on fire today.
Well,
this new AK.
This new guy, he's pretty good.
2024. Keep it.
Question from Suave Rico Suave. Can see the UFC making Ankalaev versus Roundtree. Dana doesn't seem to like Ankalaev, and Khalil is on the rise. Feel like they're still going to make Ankalaev fight one more. Thoughts on this? What are the chances, AK, that the UFC says, you know what, let's give Khalil Roundtree his opportunity to get a title shot, and let's just do him and Ankalaev in what Dana will say is a number one contender fight? Do you think there's any chance this happens?
Yeah, I think the chances are high. Again, you know, you and I will be waving our magic wand on to the next one and trying to make just, you know, get Ankalaev that title shot. But we brought up all these scenarios where Ankalaev might have to wait. And if he's okay with waiting, that's good. Is the UFC going to be okay with him waiting? I don't know. Because again, there's a lot of moving parts near the top of this division right now, which we don't always say when we're talking about 205, but that certainly is the case right now. Well, moving parts and parts that we're waiting to move. So it's tricky. So it's tricky to navigate. I think if they come to him with another fight, if Khalil is down for it and he says like, hey, I want that Ankalaev spot. It's risky, but if you're Ankalaev and you know nothing's guaranteed, it's probably a fight you're going to have to take. So there's a better, I would say better than 50% chance, if not against Roundtree, against someone else, that we do see Ankalaev have to fight again before getting a title shot. I don't think he has to. I don't think he should have to, but I'm saying, what do we think will happen in the next 6 months? Would not surprise me to see Ankalaev not get that title fight and have to fight again.
Better than 50%. What do you think of this idea?
Can't see that happening. They need Alex Pereira to fight sooner than that. So the only way this scenario plays out that way would be they have a dearth of stars right now, and Alex Pereira is kind of a box office guy that you can put on top of a card and say he's going to slug with somebody and it's going to be fun. The only scenario where I could see that happening is if Israel Adesanya decides I'm going to challenge Alex Pereira at 205, or Sean Strickland defends the belt and says I'm going up to 205 to get revenge. They seem a little too friendly probably for that. But a scenario where it takes Alex out of the mix of the rightful kind of light heavyweight contenders. Otherwise, yeah, they're going to have to put Magomed in there. The only scenario would be Jamal Hill, maybe, depending on his timeline. Again, I really don't know what that is. You know, it's kind of still murky at the moment. But otherwise, they need Alex to fight. They just need champions right now. And he's going to be one who's going to be ready to fight.
I'm kind of with AK a bit in the sense that Ankalaev deserves the title shot, but we know deserves is not a word we use in this sport. And unfortunately, and I think Dana sees this too, he just doesn't have that it factor. And I don't think Ankalaev's good for business for the UFC as a champion. Because Ankalaev is pretty much the best 205er in the world right now. But I don't think the UFC wants him as champion. He wasn't the first option for the original title fight. You know, so it was kind of just because they needed a title fight. And now that, Eric is saying, so, like they just have to get someone in there, then maybe if it's have to, kind of like how they had to get him they need him for that first title shot. But I just don't, I mean, even like, for as violent as he can be, there's a weird, like, I don't understand personally why I'm not super excited to see Ankalaev fight, even though everything tells me I should be because of how good he is. And I want to see high level martial arts, but for some reason I just can't get excited about Ankalaev. And I think that's what the UFC, especially Dana, looks at when they're booking these title fights.
Does that make sense? I don't think that makes a lot of sense. I don't think you're alone in that. Like, he can have first round, like he has some early rounds where he just does not look engaged and he's kind of just like letting the fight play out and not aggressive and not putting his own pressure on. He doesn't have the kind of limited English that like a Habib and an Islam have, where they can kind of talk a little bit of shit. Like, he just doesn't have any of that. He's kind of just this guy who shows up and fights, and sometimes it's kind of unimpressive until it's impressive, which I would say this fight was. Like, Johnny Walker was kind of just standing there in front of him waiting to be hit, and then all of a sudden something happened. The problem is, what do you do with Alex Pereira then? If it's not Ankalaev, like, what is Alex doing? You can't kind of fridge him and shelf him while you're waiting for Ankalaev and Roundtree to kind of settle that contendership. So I think he almost gets it just because he's the guy. He's the guy.
The timing is perfect for him.
The timing works out, and Alex will get a fight, and he's in there. But I don't think you're wrong. I definitely don't think they're dying for Ankalaev to be the champion.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I do think in the vein of Islam and Habib, once you start getting like championships, title defenses, and you start to show the dominance and that becomes the calling card, I think people kind of get on the bandwagon. And I could see a world where all of a sudden he's the 205 champion for quite a bit and he becomes one of those guys. Now, I don't think he'll ever be Islam or Habib. I think that's kind of a special thing. But I could see a world where he gets that kind of aura of invincibility all of a sudden. But man, you're right. Like, he's not like thrilling at times. He is prone to inactivity in fights, and it can look weird at times. Yeah, whereas like, Habib and Islam are wood chippers. They're coming out to dominate you from moment one to just put you through the ringer. So yeah, there's some oddness to it.
It's a weird, I have a hard time explaining it. Like for you guys, like personally as fans, when you're watching this knockout, I feel like most main event knockouts, we all kind of jump up and go, whoa, holy crap. And for this one, I was kind of like, all right, cool. Wow. I don't know. Maybe that was just me. Maybe it was just kind of the long night. What does Ankalaev need to do to get that kind of star? I don't know.
Learn English, the tiniest bit of English.
Is that all? It's just those kind of like when Triple G was had his big run, he was just like four
big
words.
Big drama show.
He just needs that phrase.
That's it.
Okay.
But even what Jed said during the preview show yesterday, and I was like half joking, but I think he was pretty kind of serious too. Like, no hat, no gimmick. Like, if he had that, like, that would be something. And I don't think he's wrong about that. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's wrong about that.
Honestly, like, we can even look. Sorry, Mike, I don't know if I cut you off there, but I was just going to say, look at kind of what Merab Dvalishvili is doing on social media right now. Like, he's kind of this guy who really didn't have much of a personality, sitting around just racking up wins. But now he's kind of showcasing, oh, I can be a little bit funny, put in these positions. Maybe it's not even his brainchild. Maybe somebody has kind of put this in front of him. But you just need that. You just need the tiniest bit for people to kind of figure out how to interact with your personality and support you. Then sometimes you get a guy like a Rafael Fiziev who's like kind of low-key funny and you didn't know it, and then all of a sudden he's like hilarious. Or even Apollo Costa, who was a silent mannequin for the beginning of his career and now is like a Twitter darling. So I just think he needs to develop a little bit of his personality, let people see who he kind of really is, and then the wins getting racked up kind of just solves all things. But we need something by way of personality. It can't just be this like blank canvas.
Yeah
He has no power here, like zero power in this whole entire situation. He needs Alex Pereira to say, okay, I'm fighting in May. And then Ankalaev gets the title shot. If Alex Pereira is not interested in fighting Magomed Ankalaev, the UFC ain't going to shove Ankalaev down Pereira's throat by any stretch of the imagination. They'll say, Mr. Pereira, what do you want? Well, if Jamal's going to fight in July and August, I'll just wait for that because that's going to be a way bigger fight. Okay, fine. There you go. And that's what they'll do. So if Ankalaev better send a birthday card or some sort of holiday card over, a Valentine's Day card, if you will, over to Alex Pereira and say, thinking of you, buddy, let's fight. Please give him a $25 gift card to Target or something. And maybe that'll help sweeten the pot a little bit. But Ankalaev needs Alex Pereira. needs him to say, I want to fight sooner rather than later. And then he gets his opportunity. But other than that, he may not get it. Yeah. We'll see.
Here we go.
Core 86. If every Apex card was this good, I wouldn't complain at all about the lowest tiered UFC events. I get, like, I'll let you guys talk about this in a second, but man, just the energy levels there are tough. Like, there are a lot of moments on that broadcast, even with three people in the booth, where they said nothing. They didn't say a word. And then finally, Brendan Fitzgerald had to, like, come in and just say something. Oh, or Michael Bisping would just randomly talk about a power slapper that he saw that reminded him of a guy in the octagon. Like, there was just and there's just no energy there. Like, the only time there's, like, true energy was when Jim Miller was out there and then when Johnny Walker walked to the octagon. Other than that, it was just, like, dead silent in there. So it does kind of suck the life out of you the longer these fight cards go because there's not a lot of energy in there. But if we're talking about just, like, in octagon action, yeah, this is a good one. But eventually, it's just sometimes, like, when you get to, like, the third week in a row at the Apex and it's, like, all the same, it just – it feels like these cards, even though they're not that bad, they seem, like, 9 hours long. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think this kind of leads back to the last question about Ankalaev and why I didn't jump out of my chair when I saw that knockout. I should have. It was a spectacular knockout. But for some reason, I was just like, And I felt weird as a fan doing that. And I think I just realized maybe the Apex environment and 6 hours of watching good fights, with the exception of the fight that we expected to suck that did suck. But yeah, I just... Hey, but that's the UFC's business model.
the energy of a crowd adds so much. You know, that's what's helped UFC rise so much. Is when people, you get that feeling, even not being there, you get that feeling. Why they show those crowd. That's why they show their announcer reactions to guys getting knocked out, jumping over. They're very rehearsed, but people like that. People see that and they get jacked up. So I think what Core86 is saying here, I think he's just commenting on card quality, not environment. Because Mike, you're right. There's nothing. If you don't like the UFC Apex, there's nothing that's going to make the experience more palatable. There's just nothing. The Apex is what it is. As much as I hate, I'm loath to use that phrase. It is what it is. But yes, this card, speaking to just the action, the booking, was if only they could, like, neatly follow this prototype for every event. I understand it's not possible. Sometimes they've just got to throw a card together. That's what they got. But if you look at the way this was laid out, it's perfect. It's the first three fights all featured debuting fighters of various levels of expectation. Felipe Bunez, Tom Nolan was very hyped, and Gian Silva, the biggest favorite on the card. So, and that worked out. And again, and it didn't work out that all the prospects won, but either way, there was an exciting result. Then you have, like, up and coming sort of contenders with Basharat or Marcus McGee or Bolaños. Bolaños had won, and then you've got some more guys that are there, their experience, and then contenders at the top, and then veterans, recognizable names. It was formatted really well. And again, they're not going to be able to do this for every Apex card. It helps that, you know, there was a 3 week break between these cards, because I guarantee if there was no break and they had another card at the end of December and a card earlier in January, all these fighters that we're looking at here would have been scattered to some of those other cards, and God knows it would have got. So breaks are good. If there were more breaks, we'd also get cards like this. But hopefully in 2024, they can find a better balance between contender series signings / prospects and notable names and contender fights, which we were supposed to get two on Saturday, but we only got one. But still, the on paper it was really good. So yes, I agree. If more cards were like this, we wouldn't complain at all about saturation, but we'll see how the rest of the year unfolds.
The pessimistic side of me agrees with you, obviously, and says because of the break, that's why they were able to construct this, right? There was no additional fight night where they're going to somewhere where they have to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. So they can put this month and they can put this card together and do it because they've had the time off. But there is an optimistic side of me that thinks the UFC is really hot right now and they're starting to do more fight nights outside of the Apex, and those will do really well and those will sell really well. And maybe we'll start to see just more fight nights outside the Apex. Now, certainly there's going to be Apex shows, But I think we'll start to move away from the apex more and more each as the years go on and the UFC continues to be an insanely hot ticket, whether it be a fight night or a pay-per-view. And then maybe we see the card quality increase a little bit. But from a roster construction perspective, they've cut out the middle class. And so we're really, you know, looking at the top end guys and girls and the bottom end guys and girls. And so it is hard to do an apex card like this every so often. It's more likely to be a lower quality.
We did get kind of lucky in that sense.
Yeah.
Question. I don't watch the Contender Series that much, but the Contender Series is the apex. Does it feel this flat too? Or is it, why is it different with the Contender Series?
It probably feels pretty flat. It's similar.
Okay, I've just got.
I think the difference in the Contender Series for my mind, from a viewing perspective, is it's five fights and it moves really quick. There's no packages. There's no commercial time. It is fight after fight after fight. So you don't really get a time to settle into the man. It's really quiet in here. Man, you know, it's been a long time between these fights, and now this one's not so exciting, and I'm kind of losing interest. It really just moves pretty quick, which is nice and good. But it feels just as flat. I'll be honest, okay. Like it's not a hugely different experience. Okay. But it's just shorter. Like these are long nights, and we're just sitting here in the apex with the silence and the five people in the crowd. So it can drone.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. And you want to know what else feels different about the Contender Series? Dana White actually goes to those fights. Won't be there February 3rd either.
It's right in the title. It's right in the title.
That is insane. Wait, so Dana White doesn't skip Contender Series cards, right?
No.
He'll name skip.
That's the whole gimmick.
Dude, but he went to the Peloton. There's a picture of him on social media of him at the Peloton building flipping it off. That's what he did tonight.
Priorities, apparently. Man. Priorities.
Jesus. That is crazy. I know Coppa's off the card, but I mean, potential title, number one contender fight on this, and like he didn't show up for it, but he will show up every week for Dana White Contender Series. That's bonkers. But
big Magomed fan. Big Uncle. Yeah.
Well, guys, let me tell you. So I threw up another poll. would Magomed Ankalaev be your choice to fight Alex Pereira next? Yes or no? It's 53% yes, which is a pretty bad return when you consider, again, everything we've said about him. When you consider that the MMA fighting audience is pretty educated, these aren't your Joe Schmo nobodies, you know, voting in the poll. These are people who keep up with the sport. These are geniuses, one might say. And recency bias. Recency bias should favor Ankalaev. People literally just saw him score a highlight reel knockout of Johnny Walker. So I would expect this to be at least 65% Ankalaev, just because we just saw him. How can you not make him your choice? But only 53% with quite a few votes in. So man, maybe there's something to him just not having a pull, you know?
Yeah, I was like someone. Yeah.
It's not a good number. It's not a good number.
Ankalaev is the most boring option for Alex at 300. Bummer. But he is next after Jamal. We don't know what's going on with Alex Pereira. We have no idea. We don't know if he's going to be ready for 300. We have no clue. No clue.
If the UFC books Alex Pereira versus Ankalaev at 300, will the fans be pissed?
The fans are going to be pissed regardless, because UFC 300 is not going to shape up to be the card that they artificially inflated in their heads already. So no matter what they book at UFC 300, this game is lost already.
Okay, the main event at 302, 301. I'm just trying to.
If it's in Rio,
I think people will be okay with that.
I think they'll be fine.
Okay.
I think Alex Pereira has enough juice coming off the Izzy rivalry that like. He's good. I think people are willing to say, okay, it's Alex Pereira fight time. Another finish in the Jiří fight. Like, I think people are on the Alex Pereira train.
All right. Let's talk about the star of the card, though.
Scott McCray. Felder sold me during his post-fight interview. He put Jim Miller over, and now I want to see it. Miller, Felder, UFC 300. That's the fight. Perfect. Jim Miller did the thing, and he did it well.
What was this Felder post-show interview? Was this – maybe I turned it off. Did I miss it? Felder post-show
interview? He went to the press conference, post-fight scrums and spoke, as did Miller and Ankalaev. I agree with you guys that like I love the Felder fight, but I really don't care that much. Like, sure, like I'll take it, but Matt Brown sounds fantastic. Like the thing about Jim Miller that I'm loving is like this late career resurgence. He's not just like hanging on, you know, because that can kind of be sad. Like there's certain fighters who like they're trotting out there and they're kind of just hanging on. And yeah, we're happy to see him fight. Like legend, like Tony Ferguson's a great example, right? Tony Ferguson, somebody who like people are happy to see him and people love him, but it's kind of sad. It's kind of depressing. Jim Miller's going out there and competing against everybody and winning these fights and continuing to look good in this late career, in this post, you know, contender era. And I'm so impressed by it and I'm happy to see it and I'm good with it rolling on for as long as it goes. And he's really the ace out of these bookings. So I don't care who it is. As long as Jim Miller's in there, that's good enough for me because I know that I'm getting a competitive fight. You know, there's a sadness that comes with some of these other ones, like the end of their careers and Tony Ferguson's go back to it. Like, it just doesn't feel good. Like, great, he was competitive with Paddy Pimblett, but like, man, he hasn't looked good in a long time. Jim Miller, I know, like, we're going to get a fight. I don't care who's in there with him. We're going to get a fight, and I'm happy to see that anytime.
Yeah, for me, Miller-Felder makes so much sense. I don't like Miller-Brown because I think Matt Brown has just a lot more options at 170 to fight. I think Felder or Miller just kind of it just makes sense. And Brown can fight, I feel like, lots of 170 guys. And Miller is just going to be small at 170. I know he fought Cowboy Cerrone at 70, but Cowboy was, you know, a lifetime lightweight for the most part. So, yeah, that's what I want to see. I love it. I would like that fight a lot.
It's the rare, like, feel-good fight where barring, knock on wood, someone getting, like, you know, injured or something, you wouldn't care who won. You wouldn't care if it was a first-round finish. You wouldn't care if it went the distance because if it goes the distance, the chances of that being a boring fight are slim to none. We don't have a lot of feel-good, well, I don't care who wins fights in this game. It's just a matter of fact, whether it's because we have some we want to win or the matchmaking just is not good, or there's so much on the line that like you can't enjoy, like it's gonna hurt someone so much to lose. But this is like, if Paul Felder loses, you go back to retirement. He says, oh, great, I got to come back, fight on UFC 300, go back to retirement, enjoy my life, get another payday. Jim Miller loses, he doesn't care. He's going to keep fighting for as long as he wants to. Like we said, he might fight until UFC 400. He might fight till he reaches 50 UFC fights. We don't know, right? We don't know. But he probably – what if he decides to retire? I wouldn't care. I wouldn't be like, oh, no, I can't believe he suddenly decided to retire at 300. I'd be like, good. Good for Jim Miller. Like, I'd be sad because I want to see him fight. So – there's almost no bad outcome to it. That's what makes it such a cool fight on paper. So UFC, get those gears moving and make sure both these guys are paid. Pay these men for their work, please.
Are any of you guys as surprised as me that like more people are calling to fight Jim Miller at 300? I just expected more people to kind of see the opportunity that's there and kind of like throw their name into the hat. And it kind of seems like he's the one pushing it more so than anybody else. Like, to me, you know, how many people do we see calling out the hot prospect of the month? Oh, Paddy Pimblett's the guy for everybody right now. Let me get that. And there's a shine on this moment right here. Like, Jim Miller's fight at UFC 300 is going to be something that people are interested in and watching. If I was some guy, I would have been pushing way harder for this opportunity. Shoot your shot. Maybe Miller turns it down. Maybe Felder's the fight to make. But like, I haven't heard anything yet really from anybody notable. I haven't heard, we're not seeing a lot on X right now. Maybe there's still time before UFC 300, but if I was somebody who wanted to make a stamp right now, I'd be calling him out every day on social media. Like, look for this opportunity. This is going to be a spotlight fight. Take the chance.
And well, you mentioned Paddy,
and yeah, like, he just definitely sold me. Would,
if he had not already ruled out 300, he said he won't fight at 300 because he has a child coming.
Okay, cool. We won't talk about that. I
think his first child coming around that time. Twins.
Congratulations, Mr. Pimblett. Congratulations.
But he definitely would have, if he was able to fight at 300, he would be one of the guys at the front of the line saying, hey, Jim Miller, give me that fight.
What a coincidence. A guy who knows how to get attention and is semi-intelligent about how to navigate the fight game is thinking about that. Where's the rest of them? Smarten up.
Now, as far as I know, the UFC hasn't officially released Tony Ferguson, correct?
No,
jeez.
Why would they?
Is Jim Miller Tony Ferguson just insane?
No. That's not good vibes.
If the UFC doesn't release him, that doesn't straight up release him, Who's Tony?
What else can you do with him? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of options for Tony.
Tony Ferguson versus Joe Lozon. That's the fight you make.
Sure.
These are all sad. Tony. There's no good answers here. Tony.
There's no right answer. No good answer, rather. Okay.
Anything else?
I think we're.
You think we're good? We gotta save our strength for UFC 27.
I'm trying to think of who should do the thing. I'm looking at the list of lightweights who maybe would make sense, and I don't know. But but New York Rick, it might come up now that this fight is out of the way. You know, maybe people are just being respectful, like, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the fight. A lot of people being respectful and not angling for big paychecks. That's
Chase
should. Like a guy like Chase Hooper. Adorable.
That's a perfect one. Why not?
Like, oh, that's so nice. Like, no one even be mad at Chase for doing that. They'd be like, all right, that's kind of fun.
And also, by the way, everybody's coming from this like, it would be such an honor, Jim Miller. I love you, Jim Miller. You're the man, Jim Miller. I would love to fight you. Somebody should come in there and put their finger in his chest and say, Jim Miller, I want to beat your ass at UFC 300.
You absolutely suck.
You stink. I want to embarrass you in front of everybody. Somebody needs to do something. Bring something to the freaking table. I'm bored.
A10 is the worst nickname I've ever heard.
It is.
Trash.
That's why he's on the Hall of Fame.
I would start rolling up my sleeves.
I'm starting to think that maybe I need to, because nobody else is taking this opportunity.
You know who would be a good one? Trevor Peak.
Sure, that'd be a fun ass fight. I love that fight.
That'd be electric, and Trevor would be very respectful about it.
See, this is what I don't like.
But who's like? Maybe John Silva just wants to move up to 155 just for that sole purpose. I think he would go up and probably like slap Jim Miller across the face. It would take him 4 minutes to get to gym. He would walk real slowly to get there, but he'd probably do it.
We all love Jim Miller. Nobody's, not cognizant of that fact. Everybody loves Jim Miller. It's hard. It's impossible. But like, be different. Figure like, even if you don't get this opportunity, you'll get some attention for that idea. Like, do something. Just put the thinking caps on and figure this out.
Who is gonna?
Paul Felder's a good fight.
I love it. Who's gonna put the finger in the chest of one Jim Miller? Maybe we'll find out this week. Who knows? So, yes, we are officially on the road to UFC 297. We have one more stop. That's with AK and I tomorrow. We'll do a little bit of matchmaking on to the next one. You can hear that on the MMA Fighting Podcast Network. We have Jose and my best friend, Alexander Kaylee, boots on the ground next week in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, for UFC 297. Sean Strickland, Dricus du Plessis. I'm sure this is going to be a really interesting fight week, my friends, between Media Day, those two guys at a press conference. I'm sure they're going to face off multiple times. But I know what AK's main event is, and it ain't John Strickland versus Dricus du Plessis. It is Myra Bueno Silva versus Raquel Pennington for the vacant UFC Women's Bantamweight Championship of the Universe. AK, 1 to 10, excitement levels to crown a new Women's Bantamweight Champion.
10 out of 10. 10 out of this fight alone is elevating this card. We will finally, guys, the days of Rousey, Misha Tate, Holly Holm, Amanda Nunes, all that. Listen, that's in the past. We got to accept that. It's time to move forward. It's time to move forward and crown a new bantamweight queen. let me recreate the pose. You've all seen it. I'm very excited, Mike.
Good night, everybody. Can't top that.
Happy birthday, AK.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility. Eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.